Energist Podcast is brought to you by NRJ Media Group.
Norma?
Yes?
Today's guest brings heart, purpose, and a bit of rebel energy to the film world. We're talking about Matty Scarriott. Even her name sounds epic.
Yes.
A director, producer, and the fearless leader behind the Poppy Jasper International Film Festival.
We sat down with Matty during last year's festival, and her passion was electric. She's not just creating space for diverse voices, she's protecting it. Her festival champions emerging filmmakers from all around the globe, and she's fiercely dedicated to equity, especially for women and underrepresented creators.
You know, she really is. And you'll hear how she took a small town festival and turned it into a global platform, all the while staying grounded in community, culture, with some courage.
Yeah, the courage was electrifying.
I know.
And you'll feel her fire. I mean, she's bold, unfiltered, and totally mission-driven, like we are.
Pretty much.
This one's for anyone who believes storytelling can shape the future and who isn't afraid to shake things up a bit to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes,
let's jump in.
Matty,
the festival just ended not that long ago.
April.
Which we were there.
We were a proud sponsor.
And didn't someone win an Icon Award?
She did.
She did, didn't she?
This
person sitting next to me.
It's about time
who
she did.
Constantly reminds me the fact that she's won an Icon Award. Yes. We're on a Zoom call. It goes,
I know.
Look what I got behind me.
It's behind me. Yeah. I'm a proud recipient of the Icon Award, but
before you ask your question, I'm going to ask one question. If it's the only question I get in.
No, go ahead.
Where did you two meet?
Oh. We met through Gilroy Recreation Department.
Yes.
Wait, sorry?
We'll leave it at that.
The what? What recreation department?
Sorry, it's a really deep inside joke.
Okay.
Funny, really funny.
Yeah, obviously super funny. Oh my God, I got red.
There's a brother of certain someone that was in her life.
Okay.
Said, you have to meet Norma. And he was talking about all the amazing things she's doing. And I was like, really? I would love to meet her. And this was right before COVID.
Okay.
And I had just put my first 8-day film festival in all 5 cities together. It was 2020. It was January. So we didn't know I was going to be shut down.
Right.
I meet her at Pete's Coffee.
Yeah, that's right. It was at the coffee shop.
And I walk in and I'm like, oh my God, I think that's like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in real life. Like, seriously, you just look like a rock star. And I was so excited. And you gave me everything I needed as someone that was trying to do something that was crazy. And I just love that you did your homework and that you looked at our festival guide and that you were there for me. You were there for me. And it does instill, and that's what women can do for each other. And men can do for us, too. You know, when you say, you know, tell us that what we're doing is important, and you stop someone from ignoring it and you say, this is important. And that's what you did for me. Mm. All those things make such a huge difference when you're trying to do something that's really kind of crazy.
Oh, Matty. And what is that little crazy that you're doing? You've been fostering the festival for how many years now?
Through COVID, I've been working on the festival for 8 years. I've done 5 in person and 1 online festival.
Wow, but 8 years in total.
Eight years.
Almost going to your 10th year.
Holy yeah, goodness. So this didn't happen overnight. And it wasn't like, I sort of looked at my community because I grew up in Gilroy. Mm. I had cousins in Hollister and Morgan Hill.
And that's Gilroy, California.
Gilroy, California, for those who don't know about the garlic capital of the world.
Is it really? It is the garlic capital of the world.
I remember seeing it everywhere we went. It was Oh, they're proud, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Christopher Ranch. It's a local farm that, like, well, I mean, farm, I mean, corporation. But yeah, we are the garlic capital of the world.
So vampires beware. Is that the other sub slogan that should be on the bottom of the billboards
and Michelin star chefs and right. you know whatever. A lot of stuff comes with garlic and wine and you know we have all that.
Yeah.
But for me, having cousins in both cities, the whole region was my home. Mm-hmm. So when I got the festival, it was just in Morgan Hill, and it was dying. And that's why they gave it to me. I actually really wanted to be the director for many, many years. And I had all these ideas.
Well, because
like,
of your film background,
and your
desire to be a storyteller.
Mm. Yeah, and I was like a puppy. It was like, I have all these ideas, and they're like, that's just not how we do things, you know, and the pat on the hand. And I just waited, and then I was like, I kind of got a little frustrated. And it's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start my own film festival in Gilroy. And I told the founder, Bill, I was like, you know, no hard feelings. I'm going to start my own festival. I'll still help you, but I got to do this because I just, like, I felt something inside of me. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'll help you too, and no problem, you know. And then 2 weeks later, he asked me to be the director of the film festival. And I said, I'll do it, but I got to add San Martin, Gilroy, Hollister, and San Juan Bautista.
Oh, that was your doing.
That was me.
Nice.
And he said, you can do that. And I said, I'm going to make a lot of changes. And he said, you'll be the boss.
Oh, great. And said, these are all neighboring cities that are really that right now.
Two of the cities are less than 2,000. Mm-hmm. And then Gilroy is the biggest, 60,000 people. And then there's about 45,000 in Morgan Hill and in Hollister. So altogether, it's about 100,000.
Where did your interest in film come from? Because doing what you do, I mean, having seen it firsthand or up front, is a lot of work.
That was your first film festival,
ever.
Correct?
Yeah. Okay. So it was a hell of an experience.
You broke your cherry.
You really broke my cherry. It hurt, but it was enjoyable. Yeah. Call me up on stage.
Oh, that's right.
When I,
that's
you know, right. totally unprepared.
You did great, though.
Yeah. Everyone said.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. So where did it come? Because it's obviously what you know, it is. I sense it as a calling.
Oh, yeah.
What you do.
Well, you know, I remember when I wanted to be in the movies. I was 10 years old, and I didn't want to be an actress because I didn't want to be in front of the camera. I was so terrified. I had lots of learning disabilities, ADD, dyslexia, and who knows what else. I wasn't interested in being in front of the camera. I was so timid and shy. But I knew I wanted to make movies. And I looked at a poster, and I remember asking my aunts, like, what's the difference between producer and director and all this? And they said they didn't know. And I looked again, and it was all men's names. And every time I looked at a poster, it was just men's names. And then I saw, there's costumer, there's makeup, there's women there. So that's what I focused on. That was what drove me. And that's why I got my cosmetology license. And that's why I went to the Fashion Institute, design and merchandising. And I got into wardrobe. And that's how I got into the film industry. And with this idea of I always wanted to be the director. I wanted that. Okay. I felt creative, and I felt like I had vision too. And I had something to say, but I didn't see myself there. And I remember being on a set of an independent film, and the cinematographer said, hey, I'm going to go colorize the film. And this is when they were doing 35 millimeter. And he said, does anyone want to go? And I said, I want to go. And he's all, oh, honey. Women don't have the technological minds to understand the process.
Seriously.
This was, what year was this?
This was in the late 80s, early 90s.
The 90s.
Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart. Right. And being timid and shy and withdrawn.
You just said, okay.
I just, okay.
Yeah.
That has a lot to do with why I am where I am today. Because I will not let a 10-year-old girl ever not see herself in that poster or in film. You have every right to be there, and you're capable. And you taught me that, too. And so that's a pivotal moment for me because I never forgot it. You don't forget something like that. It's like getting shot in the heart,
right?
It's
almost a catalyst. It actually becomes a catalyst. Yes. And it propels you to take, you know, the opposite and prove that person wrong and take a picture and send it to them.
And that's why I'm not an executive director of Poppy Jasper. I'm the director. Mm. I'm the director.
What's the difference?
To me, executive means your business side. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative side. Mm-hmm. I'm not an intellectual. I am not book smart, but I'm clever as
Yes, you are.
That's where I'm at. That's what I...
And you're really good with people.
I'm good with people.
You're great with people.
Because I there's stories in them.
Yes.
That's what I see. I see a story in every person. And I see myself, you know, especially as women. And directors don't look like everyone. You know, there's no gender. There's no color. Anyone has that capability inside of them. And that's what I love. And that's what I love doing this. And it's why I've continued for so many years.
Well, you do it with so much heart, which is why when I found out about the festival, I wanted to get involved as a board member, because I've been asked to serve other boards with other film festivals that are very well established. You know, there's a hierarchy, there's a box, blah, blah, blah. But what I loved is when I met Maddie, what she puts into it, and then hearing from the filmmakers themselves saying the accessibility that she provides, that she's present, what she does, and that's what I wanted to come in and step in and help those festivals, because those festivals really go to they honor the intention, and there's heart, and there's like the touching of helping filmmakers, because oftentimes when you're established in your career and you come in and help, and you don't get to have that one-on-one FaceTime, you're not really helping. You're just leveraging someone's names and contacts. What really filmmakers want to do is they want the one-on-one, which you experienced it, right, when you're talking to some of the filmmakers
there.
Yeah,
it was great. And obviously the championing women there, a lot of the people I saw were women directors, women that starred. I mean, the short films that I saw there, we saw together, they were really, really good. They were believable. And it just shows you that what can be done. It's not all about men. It's not all about women. It should be about people that have got skill and ability. That's what it should be about. It doesn't matter, as you said before, color, creed, race, religion is irrelevant.
Right. And the other component that, Maddie, if you could just expand, is the international side. I mean, you have how many countries were represented in this last festival?
30
countries.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's interesting is that, yes, there's me that is sort of the face of the festival, but the gem of our festival is our communities.
Right.
And that's what the filmmakers really love. They go to festivals with 1,000-seat theaters, and then they come to ours, which we have 250, 300-seat theaters. Mm-hmm. But they're like, I feel seen. Yeah. I feel like you see me. And I had one filmmaker go, I can't believe I'm talking to the director. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? But that can happen when things get too big. Mm-hmm. And that's hard on filmmakers, because they're indie filmmakers and they're really trying to break through the crowd. And so when they feel like they're seen, it makes a big difference.
And we've all been there in our careers,
Absolutely. You
know, whether it be film, tech, entertainment tech, whatever. There was always that moment in time when you were trying to break through and you're just busting your butt off and someone says, well, come here, let me help you. Or like for you, probably getting your first client. You know what? I'm going to take you on. And you don't forget that.
Mm-mm. No, because it's that moment that propels you forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes a big difference, because one, it validates you, and two, it gives you a foundation to grow on.
Yeah,
which is amazing. It's important.
Yeah,
you know, I know. You know, if you look at where your festival is now, you know, you're saying you've got 30 countries there. I mean, it ran for a week, didn't it? So
8 days, nine actually, because we do now we have a pre-party thanks to Ian Poulston Davies.
Oh yay!
I was like, I'm
giving them a shout out.
Yeah, I'm a big murder mystery fan, especially British television.
Okay, so now we can talk. Okay, now, you come into my side of the pond.
Now we're going.
You can go now.
Okay, all right.
Maddie and I are going to talk.
Yeah, and Ian always, you know, he's been in over 100 television shows, and he made a film called Bull in Shoes, and I asked him to come, and there's like, well, what would you like me to do? And I sent him this long list of things. I gave it everything, and I thought, and I didn't hear from him for a month, and I thought, I probably asked for too much. And then he came back saying, no, I want to go to everything. Actually, I'm going to come the day before, and I'm like,
that's
oh,
nice.
My God. So now I got to have a pre-party. So now we have a pre-party because of Ian. What do I do with them? I got to do something. And then this year we had, I think, 8 filmmakers from 4 countries come a day early to go to the pre-party, which is at Morgan's Cove, mm-hmm. a pirate ship.
Right.
So,
lovely.
Yeah.
What's the party we went to on the Friday night? Was it Friday night?
That's Poppy Bash.
That was Poppy Bash.
Yeah, that was good fun.
That
was good fun. Watching the guys come up on stage, Lyle,
yes.
Randy playing guitar. And that song was that is one of my favorite songs. I remember, oh my God, they're playing it here. It was great. Really, really good.
Yeah. And Robert Barry, that's one of his songs that he sung. And, you know, I remember,
Ambrosia.
I've never seen Randy nervous about getting up on stage playing guitar when he found out Lyle was playing guitar with
really?
Him.
And
it
this
was,
is Randy Spendlove.
Yes.
Who's the president of music and soundtracks at Paramount Pictures.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Lyle Workman.
Yep. And Lyle Workman, who's considered one of the best guitar players in the world.
A lovely man. I had a conversation with him, and he was so wonderful to talk to.
Right. Yeah. Well, they both were, and it kind of echoes Randy, too. I mean, would love, you know, for us to go into the, you know, the how you guys have become really good friends. But I think it goes back to the accessibility, mm-hmm. the kindness, almost like your friends and being able to talk to the filmmakers. And I think the message is growing that this at this festival, there are no red carpet lines, like there is no VIP boxes. You actually have the opportunity, which happened to us multiple times, even at the hotel lobby, at events, you know, filmmakers will strike up a conversation and will happily give them comments and feedback and guidance.
Well, and I love that because I like bringing people from the industry that want to meet the filmmakers and they want to be mentors. It's really important to me. Whenever I get someone that's kind of edgy and like, can I get first class? Can I do this? Can I do?
Like,
and I'm like, I don't know if this is a good fit because we're really trying to bring the industry and the filmmakers together to elevate it. Because these filmmakers may not be in the industry, but they're incredibly talented and they have some incredible skills. And it's really amazing when you put those two together. And also like Lyle, no one's going to give him an award like that. You know, he may get a Grammy on an album he's worked on, which is great. But him himself, and it was such a great opportunity to award somebody who has an incredible legacy in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to do, is take people that don't normally get the spotlight and give them the spotlight. Mm-hmm.
So it's more grassroots. It's more...
Yes.
Ethereal. I mean, it's there was no. It wasn't pretentious.
No,
You could just go and talk to people. I mean, look, again, I it was the first time I'd been, and not having the experience and not knowing. I mean, you're right. You can look at a producer or director. They're you and I. You wouldn't know, but you don't know what they're like either. What their personalities are like. And everyone we spoke to, when we sat down with the three ladies, Suki, Kat, and the older lady with the bird,
Zoe.
Yes.
And she's director of programming for Mill Valley.
She's another legend.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When I first got the film festival, I said, I need to look for somebody I can look up to. I found this article that was written about her, and she has been with Mill Valley for over 30 years. I just, like, I want to be her.
Right.
She created Mind the Gap. She's done so many amazing things for women. And just being at a festival that is as... you know, elevated as Mill Valley, I was like, I want to be her. And I remember showing up to an event in LA and seeing her, and just, it was my first year as a festival director, and just being scared to death.
It was very down to earth, very easy to talk to. You know?
Well, and a lot of these women, you know, Kat is Forbes 30 Under 30. Both Kat and Suki are ambassadors to the United Nations. Like, these women are amazing, and you wouldn't know that. And they're so generous with their time and kind. I didn't expect them to come to the best. Like, when I was putting together the women's panel, I sort of had my eye on them. Like, God, I would love to have them on the women's panel. It would be great. It would work really well. And so when they said they were coming, I was like, oh, do you want to be on the women's panel?
And also Tizzy Green.
Oh, fantastic.
Legend.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
Go,
because we're here to talk about Maddie.
Tizzy is like, you know, you'll meet Joan tomorrow. Joan introduced Tizzy and I at this tech summit. And she's like, you guys should get to know each other. And, you know, sometimes you just meet that person.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like, I felt like I've known her my whole life. And it was just this, like, soulmate thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And then I saw her film, and I thought it was, like, one of the most amazing films I've seen in a long time. And, you know, since I've started, I've watched thousands of films and just so moved by her story. She's just everything. And then has such an incredibly successful life. So she's been a gift.
I love her little entourage as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're all really good friends. And I think that's trust becomes a very important right component to your success. And you have to surround yourself by like-minded people.
Correct.
But the trust factor is the gold right there. And I'm sure you've experienced it in trying to grow, obviously, the Poppy Jasper International Film Festival yourself.
Because success can bring out that green monster.
Yes.
You know, and that green monster can be really mean.
That, I would say,
probably
in this industry, maybe I'm talking out of turn, but that green monster appears more often than it doesn't.
Yes.
You know,
it
appears more often than it doesn't. Yeah.
Yes. And with people you, like, never saw it coming.
Oh,
Like, you know, like, they just, you know, first thing they would say, like, oh, my God, I can't believe, I just want to be a part of this festival, and I just want to help you and all this stuff. And then they go, shrink, and they flip, and you're like, wait a second, I thought this, you know, that green monster is ugly. And you know what I've learned? Because sometimes when you're doing an all-volunteer or nonprofit like I'm doing, you like, oh, this person's doing so much for me, but I'm getting all this negativity. And I've learned very quickly what I'm capable of without the negativity. Like, the negativity will take more from me than their production does.
Yeah.
So it's been a learning experience, because I'm like a kumbaya, everybody get together, let's all work together. And I have a hard time with confrontation, because I just believe in people, and you're there for me. So, you know, like, it's been a really hard learning experience. But I've also learned that once you let go of that negativity, you get more positivity coming towards you. Like, once you get rid of that, you open yourself up for something better.
Correct. Negativity is like an overdraft. Once you're in it, it's very, very hard to get out of it.
It is. And it's super toxic, too. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It will kill in a creative environment that needs to survive with out-of-the-box thinking and innovation and growth. If negativity is there, forget about it. It will kill it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make you stagnant and hurt, potentially, the good brand that you're trying to develop and yourself, which you've worked really hard on developing a name for Poppy Jasper.
And the one thing about, you know, being a shy person and, you know, having so many learning disabilities, the thing about the film festival was, when I got the festival, I was standing on a purpose. There was a purpose. So it wasn't about me. It's about something bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So then I was able to talk. I'm able to talk. And able to speak about it, because it's not about me.
Right.
It's about change, and especially that 10-year-old girl, that I'm protective of her. So when that negativity comes in, it's easier for me to say no, because this is my baby, and you're not going to mess with it.
Right.
It's gotten easier once I've gotten to that understanding of like, yeah, I understand this is big, and it is big for the region that we're in. This is crazy. Yeah. It's crazy what we've accomplished.
Mm-hmm. But what you've accomplished. You spearheading this mm-hmm. yeah. has brought it to where it is today. Yes, you can't do it on your own. I accept that.
No, of course.
But someone's got to lead.
You led it. And it takes a lot of courage. God knows, work. Mm-hmm. Integrity and everything mm-hmm. that accompanies that, but it's a lot for the one person to lead mm-hmm. because people will sign up for I can do this task and will easily complain like, well, this thing would be 10 times better if this happens and that happens. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. let me see you do it. Then mm-hmm. take a leadership position, drive it. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I don't want to do that. Right? I mean, God, I know the hours you work, Maddie, and yeah. you give. That's why I was saying. And at the beginning of this podcast, she gives her heart and soul to this. And that's like the purest form, mm-hmm. very similar to what filmmakers do when they're creating, when they have this vision of a story, mm-hmm. right? They give their heart and soul to it. So I think it's like this symbiotic, it's like, you know, you're speaking the same language as a yeah. filmmaker, right?
Well, and I am a filmmaker. Yeah. So I built this festival for filmmakers because I am a filmmaker. I have a film production company and I know what it feels mm-hmm. like to get that letter where you're told you're not getting in. Right. Yeah, that's where the heart comes in. And then having filmmakers come from different parts of the world, like right. to Gilroy, Morgan Hill, and Hollister, and San Juan Bautista, it's like that's
they come for the garlic.
It's crazy. It's a crazy feeling, you know, especially because we had a garlic festival that had over 100,000 people come in a weekend. And it was everybody was talking about. It was the festival. It's where all of us sort of, it was our reunion. It was so much to us. Sure. It was a friend. Right. And after the shooting, you know, and we lost it, it was so heartbreaking.
Do you know that there was a shooting there?
No.
Yeah, you want to tell them just really quickly?
Sorry, you know what? Because you were talking about film when you were talking about shooting. I was on. Film shooting. Sorry,
no,
apologies.
At the Garlic
sorry.
Festival, we had somebody, as the festival was closing on the last day, a shooter, and he killed three people, a 6-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 26-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Random.
Yes. Just, I mean, I was yes. there. I was.
Oh, you were there?
I was there.
Okay.
I heard there's a fight. And then I looked and people were running and I heard the gunfire and I was like, that's not a fight. And then I thought, this is Gilroy. There's no way. And because the Garlic Festival was so well organized, they had people that had, you know, microphones and we were hearing everything at the same time it was happening. And it was gunfire. And luckily there were so many police that were already there. They were able to take him out. In less than 30 seconds. But that fear and the weird thing, and I think you feel it when you get in a car accident and you feel it when you get robbed, that vulnerability and like, this is happening here? This is Gilroy. This is the Garlic Festival.
This is like in Central Valley. This is where families can be families.
This doesn't happen here.
Do you have to have within you?
There was no reason, really. His parents had gotten divorced. He was angry. He blamed it on the cost of living, and it was he had.
So how do you justify shooting a 6-year-old or 13-year-old?
Because he snapped, and this is mental illness. This is not somebody that's normal. This is somebody that snapped and didn't have control over his emotions and. You know, it was really sad. And the hardest part was after that, they thought there was a second shooter. And so the 30 seconds was hard enough. But those 2 hours after trying to figure out where to go, it changed everything for me. It changed everything for the community of Gilroy because the Garlic Festival was so beloved and it defined us.
Right.
It made us special.
Yeah, when it put the city on the map.
It put us on the map. Mm-hmm. It made us special.
Garlic ice cream.
It was actually really good.
There was garlic ice cream. There's garlic kisses. It's taffy.
Okay.
Look at the face you're making. You don't like garlic.
But
I guess you have to like it. Not so much.
but it's fun.
Sure.
It's fun. But there's this painful part.
Yeah.
This painful thing that happened. And but interestingly enough, and then COVID happened, and then but then Poppy Jasper and it was 2018. I started the festival 2019. We had a very successful festival. 2019 in the summer, Garlic Festival happened, and then COVID and all that. But what's been interesting is that I live in communities that are full of people who give back. We have over 200 nonprofits in Morgan Hill, Gilroy, and Hollister, and then San Bautista and San Martin. It's a community of giving because the Garlic Festival was all about giving back to the community. So we grew up learning that. That's in our DNA. Sure. It's about giving back, and the Garlic Festival made money for everyone. Not just in Gilroy, but Hollister.
Yeah, you've got 100,000 people coming in. Now they can spend money.
And people get to know that.
When we lost that, it was crazy. But Poppy Jasper is sort of revitalizing the one thing that is in our mission is economic vitality. We stay in the downtowns of all the businesses.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. If more communities were like that in the world, it'd be a far, far better place.
Well, I think that's what the filmmakers are seeing is that you're coming to these communities that are used to giving back.
Yeah.
Right. I had one filmmaker from England who came with his partner, Ernesto Oliveras, who is a leader in our community. He picked them up at the airport in San Francisco, and he was taking them around, and he would pick them up in the morning, and then they had to go somewhere. He goes, I have to do this. I'll take you with me, and then I'll take you to where you need to go. And he stopped, and he goes, you know what? Just take the car.
Seriously.
Just take the car.
No, here are the keys. Take the car.
Oh. And Max was the...
Sounds like something that would happen in the Midwest.
This guy just gave
not
me
here.
His car. He just gave me his car.
But
another filmmaker, I've had like five people tell me, if you ever come back, you can stay
with
me.
Oh my God, you've housed filmmakers, friends.
My mom's friend, Linda.
Yes.
She had the Italian, you remember Gabe?
Mm-hmm, Gabe.
Fabro. He came, and he's a handsome guy, handsome young man, along with his executive producer and star, stayed with her. They made her an Italian dinner that she'll never forget.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so she tells me, if you have any more Italians.
Ah, so House of Italians. Italian filmmakers them. Right here. Aww.
You obviously you've had a lot of joy as well from the Poppy Jasper.
Oh, yeah. We can see it in her eyes.
Yes, yeah. I'm living a dream.
That's amazing.
I'm living a dream.
Well, you're helping so many filmmakers too. I mean, especially at this stage when they're starting.
Yeah.
You never know, right? And you have somebody who genuinely believes in you. And and it's giving you an award or acknowledgement or an opportunity to speak on a panel or, showcase your work. That's like gold.
Yeah. And it was a filmmaker that nominated us for the 25 Coolest Film Festival.
That's right, because you just got an award for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Really, listen, it's been lovely listening to you. Now, we've got two things to come next. Okay. To your right, behind your bottle of beer. Some cards. Okay.
You just exposed her poison.
I just did.
It's okay.
Sorry. No, listen, we used to have whiskey here.
I wouldn't be able to talk after that.
Sorry, I need a good whiskey.
It's a little strong for me, but that's okay.
So those cards are thought-provoking, quite deep questions. So if you wouldn't mind, pick one out. Anyone.
Anyone.
Read the question out if you don't mind answering it, and then Norma and I will answer it as well.
Okay. I'm going to take purple. It's my favorite color.
Okay. Normal ice, but you like purple, don't you?
I'm going to have to put my glasses on.
I love her book.
Which teacher had the biggest impact on you?
I love that card.
You know, because I had a learning disability, and I really thought I was stupid. And
you did,
I
did. Maddie?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, because, this was back when their dyslexia didn't have a name. AD didn't have a name. And so, and I had to stay back in the fifth grade because I didn't pass. So that was even more humiliating. It's really humiliating to have to stay back when all your and at 10 years old,
it was tough.
Boy crazy. It was like, oh, I heard you flunked. You know, yeah, like that, it was excruciatingly painful.
On your playground, in the playground.
And so, you know, I, like I said, I'm clever. I can fake my way through a lot of stuff. But when I got to high school, I met Carol Peters, who was an art teacher. Apparently, I'm an artist. And she encouraged me and changed the way I thought of myself. And I remember doing a poster for a poster contest, and I won. And I got first place a couple of times, and then I also got asked to be senior editor of the yearbook, and we got second place in the nation for our yearbook. And so Carol really changed that for me.
Nice.
Because she made me see that I had another ability that I didn't even know I had.
Well, if you think about it, what you do is you create and artists create. Mm-hmm. So it's very much in keeping with what...
And you don't forget people who do that. Mm-mm. I'd ever.
Mm-mm. Norma.
Sister Carl. So I went to Catholic school in Southgate, California. And Sister Carl, she was that one nun that started the choir. Mm-hmm. I was in the choir. But she had this unbelievable positive energy at St. Helens Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. She made you feel like you were $1 million every time you walked into her classroom. And oddly enough, a lot of the other nuns would, like, scold her. They said she had to, like, bring down her sunshine. And she
sounds
would...
like Sister Mary Clarence.
And she... And I saw them. And she would, like, you know, bring it down when they were in the room. But then she would go back to herself. And I thought, oh, she's not... She's still being herself, and she gave me so much inspiration, and she was the first one who told me, you're special.
Aww.
There's something in you. She's like, there's a spark in you. Don't let anyone take it away, because she realized that I had witnessed this fifth grade teacher. She was like a nun. She was very scary, was always scolding her for being too much for our elementary school. Yeah.
Lovely. I didn't like school. I couldn't wait to leave it. So I think there's no teacher that stands out in my mind at school, but I think lessons that I've learned over the years has been someone I train with, who's taught me various things over the years in terms of defense, about how to look after yourself. And I've taken a lot out of that because I've really enjoyed it, because it's been an ongoing lesson. It's helped me grow as a person. It's helped me become... He's helped me through a lot,
right,
when I was going through a lot physically. So that I would say is where I've learned the most, because school and me didn't get on.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
So
I get that. But yeah, so that's how I'd answer that.
And then, Maddie, there's one other question we'd like to ask our guests, and only because of time, but what advice... This is kind of your open mic for listeners that are there listening and are trying to figure their way out. And maybe they're tuning in because they heard that, you know, you spearhead a film festival. What advice do you have for them?
Don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone. It's so important. And it can be scary, but it's really important. It's sort of like, you know, you go into a gym and you lift those small weights, and then you get stronger and stronger, and you have the bigger weights, and like really build your muscle, that inner strength, and surround yourself with people who believe in you, and then step outside. You know, I think risk is one of the biggest components of success.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maddie. Yeah. Thank you for your
time. Thank you very much for coming in. Yeah. I really agree with what you've just said.
And there was so much more I wanted you to share, but we'll have you back.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to Energist Podcast, where ambition meets achievement. If today's stories energized you, share this episode with someone who needs that spark. Stay connected. Subscribe to our newsletter at nrjmediagroup.com and follow us on social media for more powerful insights. Until next time, stay inspired, stay bold, and keep striving for greatness.
Energist Podcast is produced and hosted by Norma Garcia and Rich Reed. The incredible talent behind us. We are highly engineered and edited by Rich Evers. Our seriously creative director is none other than David H. Tanaka. Our talented music composer is Steve Devaney. Our devotion to motion graphic designer is Mike Macklin. Our very spirited technical advisor is Tracy Williams. Our amazing marketing manager, Lauren Carter. Our man of many words publicist is Josh Gershman. And introducing our producer's assistant, Blake Mealy. Energist Podcast is brought to you by NRJ Media Group.